Good to be with you this Sunday. Deborah and I had a wonderful time with our family. We do a family Walktoberfest, is what we call it. And as Chris said, we do pit our kids against each other to find out which one is the best. And our youngest came out the winner this year by the 10th of a point. We have a lot of fun in doing that, and they have a lot of fun. And I hope none of your sensibilities have been too tarnished by Chris's sermon the other day. I know he used that word about three times because he thought he had gone over the edge a couple of times, some of the words that he used. But anyway, Chris, thank you very much. I appreciate you filling in for me, and you did a great job. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. Deborah and I are, you could probably call us nomads in many ways, mainly because we actually looked at how many houses we have owned in our life or places we've lived as a couple, not owning, some of them we've rented, places we lived as a couple, and in 38 years, this is the 18th home we've been in. And three of those we lived in over 5 years. And so that means that we were moving quite a bit during some of those years, and so we feel like we were nomads. And if I ask you, how many of you have lived in a home, not it may not be the one you're in now, how many of you have lived in a home more than 40 years in here? Okay. All right. How many of you have lived in a home more than 50 years? Who we got? Okay. You got two people here. All right. We're good. So some of you have abided you have taken up residence in a house for a long, long time. Some of us, on the other hand, have not taken up residence in a house for a very, very long time. And when I think about that, I think about our spiritual lives as well. That some of us probably feel like spiritual nomads in many ways. In many ways, I don't feel like I'm there, but I'm here, and I don't feel like I'm really in God where I need to be, and sometimes I'm out. And so it just seems like there's a lot of movement spiritually in your life. And there's a lot of movement back and forth to abide in God, because it's a struggle. It's something that's not easy. It's something that doesn't happen without some persistence in our lives. To be someone that actually is abiding in God and abiding in Christ is difficult, because the world is pulling you in one way, and that flesh that we have inside of us, and Satan is pulling us this way, and there's always that, and then you have this spirit that is inside of us that's saying, no, no, come back, come back. And so we're torn in many times. And just finding that place to where you just abide, just sit in the presence of God is not easy for probably every single one of us. So this morning, I want to talk about a way that we can work, that we can practice abiding in God. Before we do that, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. God, we come before you this morning thanking you for this time that we have to study your word. And I appreciate what Clint had to say about abiding in you, that you are the bread of life. And Lord, in you is eternal life. And I thank you for this place that we are right here, right now, that we can come before you and abide in this worship that Kent has led us in, and just abide in your spirit today. I ask that you be with us. And Lord, our hearts go out to those who were victims of the shooting in Pittsburgh. This is a crazy world that we live in. Lord, we pray that you will be with those families and that you will be with them as a people, especially that synagogue there. And Lord, we ask that you continue to be with us as we grow, as we reach out to this community, as we reach out to our friends and our neighbors. Be with us today as we study. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. There's a phrase that I would like for you to kind of get a hold of and kind of use it in your life. And I'm going to do this over and over, and I'm going to do some things with it. It's the phrase, it's the first point on your outline there. And it's the act, the art of practicing the holy. I would love for you to just kind of think about that. Kind of hold on to that. The art of practicing the holy. And the reason I came up with that is because of this verse here in Jeremiah. And it says this, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me." God says, I don't care about your riches. I don't care about how smart you are. I don't care how strong and mighty you are. What matters most to me, what matters most to me is that you understand and know me. That I am the Lord who, listen to this, who practices steadfast love, who practices justice, who practices righteousness in the earth. For in these things, the Lord says, in these things I delight, declares the Lord. I like those who are seeking and trying to understand my love, my justice, my righteousness. It is the art of practicing God. It's the art of practicing Jesus. It's the art of practicing the Spirit in our lives. That's where we are today as disciples in Christ. The man who wrote the message, Eugene Peterson, died this past week. And he was a man of faith to many, many individuals, me included. And one of the books that he wrote was such a profound title to it. It's this, not going to be on the screen, but just listen to it. A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Here's what he put. He says, there's a great market, and this is one of the quotes, there's a great market for religious experience in our world. There is little enthusiasm for the patient acquisition of virtue. Little inclination to sign up for a long apprenticeship in what early generations of Christians called holiness. In what they called holiness. And here's what I found out. Every one of us are in a hurry. Every one of us are in a hurry. Most of us want the holy instantly. We want to become experts in love and justice and righteousness and faith overnight. And because knowledge is at the tip of our in our hands and in our pockets, because Google made that so, we expect to be competent in our walk with God just like that, because we can look it up. We can see all the answers. We can find anything we want to because we have it in the palm of our hands. And then we feel like we have to watch this video. We have to listen to that podcast. And don't forget your Bible reading. And don't forget to spend time in prayer. Yet discipleship means we spend our lives, listen to this, it means we spend our lives practicing Jesus. We are apprentices of the Master. My son has a thing he does with pencils or pens with his fingers. And I took a video of it because I thought, I love writing. I love this. And I'd love to do the same thing that he does. And so we're going to show you. It doesn't have any sound on it. So go ahead and show that if you don't mind. And so I did it in slow motion. I thought, well, I could learn it if I knew it in slow motion. It was so fast, I didn't really see what he was doing. That was pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Do it one more time. Get it around to the right. All right. Now, I feel like sometimes when I am doing my work, or as a Christian, I feel like sometimes, especially when I was growing up in my Christian walk, that one of the things that I needed to do was to do everything right the first time. It was almost as if I expected that out of myself. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. I've got to do this right. And there's a lot of do's in the Bible. There's about 3,000-4,000 do's in the Bible. Do this, do that, do. And so if you look at all that, it just seems like it's overwhelming that you've got to do all these things. The first time do ever comes up is when God is actually talking to Cain after he gave his sacrifice that wasn't pleasing. And God says this to him. He says, "Why are you angry, Cain? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at your door." The word "do" there, to perform, to execute, to accomplish, to finish, to complete. And then you see what Moses, through God, tells him and tells the children of Israel when he says, "And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all this commandment before the Lord our God as he has commanded us." So I thought, just like my son, if he can do the pen thing, I can do the pen thing. So I've been practicing to see how it goes. It really hasn't gone very well at all. In fact, it just gets worse. Oh, almost, you know. And I thought, I could do this. I have had these in my pocket for 4 days, and I still haven't. I've cut it once. Now, many of us, those pins represent something in our lives. Because for many of us, the pins are the failed attempts we've had in our walk with God. Because I haven't done it right. I haven't gotten it down right. And for some of us, this is very difficult for us to go, "Oh, I've gotten this wrong." And then I started looking at this word in 1 John that was practice, and I looked up the Greek word, and it talks about practice, the art of kind of doing something over and over, repeated, systematic exercise for a purpose. And when I looked at this Greek word, practice, I looked up the Hebrew word that it was translated from, and the Hebrew word also was the same word. It actually means practice. And you see that verse up there in Psalm 111, verse 10, where it says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." All those who what? Practice it. All those who practice it. All those who are going about trying their best to practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. That word right there is the same as "do" in that other passage in Deuteronomy. Now, go back one slide, if you don't mind, to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, listen to this. "And the Lord commanded us to practice all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are today. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to practice this commandment before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us to do." Do you understand what God is saying here? God is saying that we are supposed to be practicing the art of the holy. We're supposed to be doing and looking more like Jesus each and every day. Okay, so you've got a scripture on your outline there. Pull out that outline if you've got it. If not, turn to 1 John or just listen to it up here. I'm going to want you to circle some things in just a minute. Our walk as practice. Listen to what John says. Listen to how he talks about this. Okay, 10 verses. Chapter 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. We'll come back to that. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared in order to take away your sins. In other words, you do know that, don't you? If you practice sin, why are you doing that? Because you know that He appeared to take away your sins. And in Him, there was no sin. Verse 6, no one who, what? Takes up residence, takes up tabernacle, abides in Him, keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or know Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, and he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of Man appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides, takes up residence in Him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident. It's evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Nor is the one who does not love his brother. Okay, so here's what I want to do. I want to go to this little thing right here. I got a new toy. It's kind of cool. The art of practicing the holy. What is it? What is it? What is the art of practicing the holy? I want to go over those same verses. Look at the practice in there, okay? Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Now think about that in your own life. Are there sins in your own life that you are continually practicing? Because what John says, and what's really interesting about John in this, is he doesn't give like there's a middle ground. He doesn't give a middle ground. He says you're either over here or you're over here. Look at this next one. Oops. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Okay? So, we're either living and practicing sin, or we're living and practicing righteousness. Now, there's another one that scares me half to death. There's another place that John talks about, not in 1 John. He talks about it in Revelation. He talks about it in Revelation, and I already had this when Elaine Bowman actually wrote this yesterday in her little heart words. And I was like, how in the world do we do that? The Spirit working like that. Elaine, it was awesome. I already had this, so I'm just going to read her words. This is a place that scares me to death. The complaint Jesus had about the church at Laodicea is one of the scariest of all to me. Jesus says, I am aware of what you're doing in my name, but you're not doing it very well. Your zeal for me is gone. You're just going through the motions of worship. I'd rather that you not worship me at all than to worship me in such a lackadaisical manner. You think you have your act together, but you don't. You can't do this without me. Then she says, and she uses Jesus' words, I'm standing at the door, knocking. Open the door and let me in. Why is this scary? Whoever makes a practice of sinning is from the devil. Is of the devil. I don't know about you, but that's just really scary to me. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. If I've got Jesus Christ in me, if I've got the Spirit of God in me, there is something that hurts me when I sin. It hurts me. It hurts my heart. It hurts me when I sin. I understand that because I have Jesus inside me, and there is a conscience within me, and that conscience is Jesus Christ saying, you should not be doing that, James. You should not be doing that. And it hurts. Why? Because we've been born of God. And what we do is we take steps in the right direction to do what he wants us to do. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. I want you to write something down for me if you don't mind. Okay? Okay? Good instruction from Jesus Christ, plus practice, plus consistency equals a disciple of Jesus Christ. When we are continually working on this, when we are getting that good instruction from Christ and from God, when we are in his word and abiding in him daily, when we're doing that and we're practicing, what does practicing mean? Practicing means I can pick up the mistakes in my life. Practicing means that I don't have to get it right every single time. Practicing means that I'm going to be doing this for a long time. Practicing means that I get better as I go. Why? Because I do it over and over and over. And the older I get, hopefully, because I've had this good instruction, because I've had this practice, because I have been consistent in that, I am moving toward being a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm moving forward to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Okay, so here's the question. So how do we practice? That's one of the things you got to know. If you're going to be a good coach, someone's got to tell you how to do this. Okay, so here we go. Ready? Why do we practice? Why do you practice? Why do we practice? We practice because. Why? Because we want to be like our teacher. We practice because we want to be like our coach. We practice because we want to be like him. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher. That's what Jesus said. It's enough for you as a student to be like me. as the teacher. It is enough for us to be like that. Okay, second thing, B. How do we practice? How do we practice? We practice, listen, we practice deliberately. How many of you like practicing piano growing up when you were taking piano lessons for the very first time? How many of you took piano lessons in here? Okay, no, keep your hands up. Okay, all you. How many of you actually lasted more than a year? Okay, half of them went down. No, two-thirds of them went down. Okay, how many of you actually still play the piano? Okay. All right. 7 or 8 out of the 55 we had hold it up. Still. Listen to this. And this verse just really touches me. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. We're either practicing one or the other. So, here's the third thing. What do we practice? What do we practice? Okay, I got one more thing here. Oops. I love this verse in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. It's kind of, if you ask me, it's a pivotal verse of all of 1 John. And it says this, whoever abides, see if I've got it, whoever abides in him I'm obligated in my practice to do what? To walk. Okay, I know I can walk, but what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to walk? In the same way in which what? Say it. He walked. In the same way he walked. In the same way he walked is the same way I'm supposed to walk. My life is supposed to be a reflection of Christ. That's what my life is supposed to be. And I love this verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8, which says, and we all with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. As Chris said last week in his sermon, he says, God is doing a work in each of us. Yes, God is doing a work in each of us. It's not us doing all the work. We are partners with God in that amazing transformation that's going on in our hearts. And we begin to practice that with Him, the art of the holy, practicing the art of the holy. What happens is that we have to, in our lives, if we're going to change our lives, we have to get fed up. We have to get fed up with the ways of the world in our lives. There's got to be a point to when we say, I am done with the world. I am done with unrighteousness. We have to acquire an appetite for the world of grace and love that Jesus has for each and every one of us. And this verse in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 says this. Hang on. Everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Okay, so real quickly, 7 things. You write them down real quick. This is some things I think were very important for me, and let me give you those 7 things. The 7-step challenge. 7-step challenge. Here it is. Getting rid of sinful behavior. If you want to use a word, it's called repentance in our lives. Here's 7 ways to do that. Here's the first thing. Choose a replacement behavior. Choose a replacement behavior. If you've got a habit in your life that has been formed and is sinful in your life, the way you get rid of that is you choose a replacement behavior that's different than the one you're in right now. You've got to choose something different. Here's the second thing. Cut out as many triggers as possible. In other words, that could be cut out as many friends as possible. That could be turn off the television, get rid of my phone, let somebody else have that. I mean, to that degree, if that's where you are. Here's the third one. C, deliberately practice the new behavior. Deliberately practice the new behavior. Here's what I need to do. I'm going to deliberately practice this. Here's four. Find a good teacher. Find a good teacher. All of us need someone, if we're in this situation, to help us say, I need you to help me teach me the ways in which to get out of this sin that I am in. You've got to find a good teacher. One of the reasons we have our elders stand at the back and even up here at the front after worship is that for you to say, I need you to help me in my journey of faith. Would you be my teacher in this area of my life? Here's E. Surround yourself with others who live the way you want to live. Surround yourself with others who live the way you want to live. 6. F. Visualize yourself succeeding. Visualize yourself succeeding. And remember, this is G, this is 7. Return to the person God created you to be. God has created you good. From the very beginning, He created you good. We can all return to the person God created us to be. Let me end with this verse, okay? Listen to this verse. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. That he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his path. I pray that everyone here is walking with Christ, walking with God, walking in the Spirit. But if you're not, if you've got sin in your life, today is the day to get practicing the art of the holy and to get rid of all that in your life. Start something new. Start a new way of looking at doing things. But it comes first that you've got to confess that to somebody and say, I need help in this. So our shepherds will be at the back if you need to talk to them. Or if you need prayers from this church, then come down the front and let us pray for you. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to be baptized for the remission of your sins, to start a new walk with Him, abiding in Him, then do that today as together we stand.